Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Jason Bishop. That is the foursome. Our pal Chris Doering, former Washington football team wide receiver, now an analyst for ESPN and the SEC Network. He'll jump on at 7:20 as we talk a little college football. Right now, though, 7 o'clock, we hit the skins.
All right, boys. Got some great quotes here, actually, from Alex Smith. Alex did an interview, I guess, with Fox News, of all people. But some great quotes here where he's talking about Taylor Heineke, about the NFC East. He said something about how he'd heard about Taylor for a long time. He says, I think Thursday was his third career start, which is crazy, but he's been in the league a while. I remember hearing about Taylor when he was an undrafted player in Minnesota and that he was a really good player and had a bright future. Alex goes on to say, he's been with Scott Turner a long time, most of his career, and I think everything he's been through has really led up to this opportunity. I think he's ready for it. I think he's ready to seize it, make the most of it. Talent has never been an issue, Lurch. He says he's a confident guy going out there.
I like how he says it to me. He's talking to me.
Well, he's a confident guy going
out
there.
That's what Alex said on Fox News.
He knows what he's doing. He knows the offense. He played decisively. He played fast. He played within himself. He wasn't trying to do too much. Running the offense, executing the offense, and let the big plays come to him. There's no doubt in my mind that he could play like that week in and week out. How great is that? Alex Smith,
no doubt,
a big fan of Taylor Heineke. He said we will see. He said he saw the same confident player last season. He says, having been in that system all last year, I think I just saw a guy who goes out there and plays confident. He says he was decisive. He wasn't doing anything crazy. The moment wasn't too big for him. The spotlight wasn't too big for him. And I think we saw that last season with the playoff game. On a huge stage, it was the same thing. Taylor didn't blink. He was ready for it. So kind, glowing, positive words from Alex Smith. Cakes, what do you make of that?
He's upbeat on him. We'll have to see how Heineke does in his first road test as he travels to Buffalo. I mean, he just seems like a guy who's pretty much unflappable at this point. He doesn't shrink from the spotlight. He plays well when the lights are the brightest. And I would expect him to have, I would say, pretty good game against Buffalo.
That
is
number,
he going to pass for 300? I don't know, but I think he should pass for 250-ish. Hopefully he takes care of the ball, throws a touchdown or two.
One thing I like,
it'd be hard to pass for 300 against Buffalo. You know, I know it's early, but they got the number two ranked defense in the league right now.
We've got one of the best corners in the game.
And that number, by the way, on FanDuel has dropped. Remember, it opened at about 10.5?
9.5 is what I saw.
I think I saw 10.5 when it first came out. And now maybe it was 10, but now it's 8.5.
One of the things that Ron Rivera said yesterday, which I liked when he was talking about Taylor Heineke, and he mentioned Scott Turner, is they recognize that Heineke is more comfortable with the way he played in college, spread, fast. And he said that they were actually mixing it up, which is brilliant. I didn't pay enough attention to it where they would maybe run a couple of plays without a huddle, then they would do a huddle. Keeps the defense off guard.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have some of the clips from Ron when we had him on the show where he was talking about Taylor and specifically, and he was talking about also how in practice he plays a little better when he was forcing himself to play from the pocket?
One thing that you see in practice is he's really not as functional as you see him in the game, because in practice he's trying to keep himself in the pocket. He's trying to make himself develop a little bit more of that pocket awareness. So in practice, he just doesn't look, you know, as efficient as when he's moving a little bit. You know what I'm saying? You know, when he improvises, that's when he becomes even more dangerous. But in practice, like I said, he forces himself to go through it all.
And I've always maintained that. If Taylor's not a guy who's going to blow you away in practice or in workouts or anything like that. And that I do think he's better when he's freelancing. But, you know, last week, I didn't see a lot of freelancing.
Well, and Coach Rivera talked specifically about that Ricky Seal-Jones pass, where you do see him looking at the left side, and he talked about it after the game, that he's got a lot of self-belief, is what I come away with, and he just is so knowledgeable about this offense.
No doubt.
Since he's been in it for so long, and that he knew, okay, there's my guy in the corner out. You know what? I'm going to grasp. Might be incomplete, but right. I'm going to grasp. And boom, it was a touchdown.
Gave Seals-Jones a chance. He went up, made a great play.
It was a great throw.
And by the way, Ricky Seals-Jones not getting enough credit for the catch. He
got
his feet down.
Amazing catch.
It was kind of the only spot you could put it on that throw.
Yeah.
For based on where the defender
was. Well,
that was
what was so impressive about it, is that he just threw it exactly where he had to.
Was he talking? I thought I saw him talking about he's disappointed that Heineken hasn't given him the endorsement deal.
But then Bud Light reached out to him on social.
Yeah, oh, they did? Was that because
he mentioned Bud Light? Yeah, okay.
He has Junk's type hustle where he's trying to capitalize with endorsement money.
Well, he should. He's not one of these guys that got like $30 million in guarantees.
And Cakes, you're okay with Heineken making the Heineken joke?
I'm okay with him doing it.
Okay.
Well, he's not really making a joke.
I know. Well,
he's trying to get a deal out of it.
Right. As he should.
He's reaching out to him, posting a case of beer.
I mean, I got a Heineken deal before Heineken did. How does that make any sense?
Right.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
I mean, if I have one, he should certainly
have
one.
Who's the guy who plays James Bond now, that actor, the British actor? What's his name?
Daniel Craig?
Yeah, Daniel Craig
does.
That's
Draft's guy.
He does. I think he does Heineken spots.
Okay.
I think he's a Heineken endorser.
Right.
And he's just sitting at the bar and he's drinking.
He's getting paid millions.
Taylor should be sitting at the bar next to Daniel Craig.
He absolutely should.
Exactly. Alex Smith also had some interesting comments about the NFC East. You guys will find this interesting. He says, I think the NFC East is going to surprise a lot of people. I think it's incredibly underrated across the league, and I understand why, and a lot of it's based off of last year, but I think all these games are going to shock a lot of people. I think they're much better than people think. I do think Washington has the deepest roster. I think the division is out there for them to take, but I do think it's going to be a really competitive division, not just amongst each other, but the rest of the divisions out there as well. I think they're going to shock a lot of people. So there you go. So not only is he high on Taylor Heineke Cakes, he's actually high on the NFC East.
On the entire division.
The entire division, yes.
Okay.
I don't know, go ahead and keep being high on it.
I don't know if I'd be high on the entire division. I mean, I might be high on Dallas and possibly Washington. I don't see how you're high on Philly and the Giants.
Which show is he now part of? Is he part of Sunday Night Football on NBC? I forget. I haven't seen him. I saw something where they were teasing him, and I didn't stick around for it.
Well, it's weird because he spoke to Fox, apparently, on behalf of Gatorade.
Okay.
Because he's helping to promote their Gatorade sweat patch. Have you seen that?
Mm-hmm.
You have a sweat patch, and you get the app, and so you work out, and you check it, and it tells you how much hydration you need, whether you need more salt or more carbs or whatever.
Gatorade. Is it in you?
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you, Michael Jordan.
Exactly.
You know what? If you work out and you're sweating, drink some Gatorade. You really need a patch to tell you to drink it.
Huh.
I mean, come on.
Okay, he's actually appearing on Monday Night NFL Countdown, so that's ESPN.
Hmm.
Yeah, I haven't seen him yet. I'm watching the Manning cast.
Right, you're too focused on Eli and Peyton.
All right, so every year we always go through sort of the power rankings as the season progresses. And it's interesting to see where Washington ranks week to week. They seem to be all over the place. So when you compile, the guys from Hogs Haven have compiled, like, the Sporting News, the Washington Post.
I give Sporting News credit. They're still
NFL.com, Pete Prisco and CBS Sports, Yahoo Sports, Bleacher Report. When you combine all of those.
So this is the average?
No, this is, like, the lowest. They actually, well, I guess the highest is Odds Shark. So take that for whatever it is. That's obviously a gambling-related site.
I'm going to guess. Can I
all
guess?
Right.
Odds Shark has them 14th?
9th.
Wow.
They
top
have the 9th in the power rankings.
Yes, pump the brakes on 9.
What?
But they have them 9th.
All right.
Everybody else seems to have them in the
guacamole. 15 to 18.
The late teens, 20s. Yeah. I mean,
I saw on TV on the NFL Network yesterday they were ranked 22nd.
Yeah, like NFL.com has them 21.
That's what Drab searches all the time, late teens, 20s. He told me that during the break.
Pete Prisco has them 21. Yahoo Sports, 21. ESPN2 has them 22. The New York Post has them 23. They moved up one. The week before, they were 24 for the New York Post. So they go anywhere from 9 to 23 in the power rankings. Basically, nobody
That's
knows
a
what
big
to,
jump
nobody right knows what to make of them. Yeah. Now, the Odd Shark, the 9, is an outlier, to be fair.
Who are they sandwiched between? Do you know?
Don't have that.
Who's and 8 and 10?
And on Odd Shark? No. I just have a compilation of all the various sites.
Well, I mean, if they go into Buffalo and win, they'll go from 9 to about 5. Right. Six.
I also found this interesting. So a lot of people wondered who was going to fill Curtis Samuel's shoes, right? And I keep telling you, I think it's going to be sort of a combo of Gibson and J.D. McKissic. But others are looking at receivers, and you know they always throw out their Cam Sims. And Cam, you know, did some things last year, but so far he's played just a total of 10 offensive snaps.
Yeah, they're playing De'Ami Brown.
That's no bueno for
2021. Yet, Ron Rivera has acknowledged that they need to get him out there on the field more. He said, I think the thing is we got to get him on the field a little bit more, and that's the truth of the matter. He said, the coaches and I, we've talked about that. Hmm. So, I don't know. I always thought that Samuel's role might be more of a J.D. McKissic thing, but we'll see.
Odd Shark, by the way, has Washington between Pittsburgh at 8 and the Indianapolis Colts, JP's favorite squad, at 10.
So are we the highest rated NFC East team then on Odd Shark? Where do they have the Cowboys?
Yes, they have Dallas at 15.
Wow.
I guess they believe that Washington's defense is going to turn it around.
And they have Philly and the Giants at 25 and 26,
yeah, they
respectively.
They have to, right? And then,
so how many targets has De'Ami Brown had? I can't find
He's got
it.
A bunch of targets and only like a couple catches, I think.
He
right?
only has 4 catches.
Because I feel like he was targeted.
10. He's got 10. So
10
I thought he only has 10 targets.
10 targets through 2 games isn't terrible.
No, but I thought it'd be
more.
I
mean, for a rookie, it's not awful.
Humphreys has as many.
Yeah.
He's got 10 as well. Humphreys has kind of been that guy. He's got 9 catches on 10 targets. So,
right.
He looks like, you know, that's where Heineke's going if he's not going to McLaurin.
Right.
I'm feeling like maybe this week is a Logan Thomas breakout week. He's played well, but hasn't had that spike week yet. Might be against Buffalo.
You're going with due factor.
Overdue factor. Overdue theory.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of the same as a do theory.
Valdez, you've been texting with your, have you been texting with your boy, telling him we need a big week or anything?
Radio silence there with Logan.
I texted him during the UNC Virginia Tech win, big win in week one.
Ah,
that's last time. I don't try to bug him that much during the season.
Right. He's not your golfing buddy during the season.
You're doing like that bit. You're doing like, how about them Hokies? Do that when they win.
Well, kind of back and forth. Yeah. I have other buddies who went to Tech that know him and everything.
Ah,
in a group
good.
Text.
By the way, I guess Ron went on the record yesterday and said he's okay with the taunting penalties. Did you guys see that?
Oh, yeah. He's a big proponent. He's on the competition committee, right? I think he's on the competition
committee. I believe his explanation was it's going to prevent a bunch of brawls from breaking out.
Hmm.
How many brawls are happening in the NFL? I mean,
He said, we've had this example where one guy taunts
rare.
A guy,
yeah.
then
yeah,
the
right.
guy comes back for a little payback. Next thing you know, you got a big fight on your hands.
I mean, the last NFL big fight I remember was Myles Garrett and was it Mason Rudolph?
Yeah.
I mean, that obviously got
out of hand. Players can be crazy, but I don't think they're that crazy where they're going to risk getting suspended for certain games and missing paychecks. But.
Well, I know Tom Brady and Jerry Jones both adamantly against it.
All
right, coming up next, we switch gears, talk a little college football. Chris Doering, former Washington football team receiver, now with ESPN, covers the SEC for the SEC Network. He'll join us here on the Junkies.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Coming up at 9 o'clock, our pal Mike Rizzo, president and general manager of the Washington Nationals, will join us. They actually got a win yesterday.
They did. Soto had it. It's interesting. Soto and Trey Turner battling for the National League batting title.
Ah.
And I believe they have the exact same average. So basically two Nats.
Right.
And it looks like the other Nat probably is going to win the Cy Young. Ex-Nat, Max Scherzer.
He's been unbelievable. He pitches tomorrow.
Been great for the Dodgers.
What are the awards going to be? It's going to be Scherzer's going to win the Cy Young.
Well, he's not a lock, but.
Let's hope. Yeah. Is Ohtani going to win MVP? That's guaranteed.
Yeah.
AL.
Although Guerrero is having an unbelievable year. And any other year, Guerrero's a shoo-in.
Right.
But and then Bryce might win the NL MVP.
Scary.
I know.
Bunch of ex-Nats.
Yeah.
All right, join us right now on the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. It's Chris Doering, former Washington football team wide receiver, analyst for ESPN, SEC Network, has SEC this morning on SiriusXM. What's up, Chris?
Good morning, man. How you guys doing?
Thanks for joining us, bro.
Did I see that you tweeted? I saw somebody tweet out that people were all fired up over Penn State's whiteout. And maybe it was you, maybe it was somebody else. And they were like, well, that's every SEC weekend.
Yeah, I said something like that. Now, here's the problem that I had. And it wasn't, you know, it's a great atmosphere. But as everybody led up to the game, all the reports on television and radio was, oh, it's going to be a whiteout. Like, yeah, that's great for television. Looks great on TV. The visuals are unbelievable. But it has zero effect on any player in the actual game. Like, I've never gone into a game and looked up in the stands and said, wow, man, they're all wearing the same shirts. This is really intimidating. It's just a storyline that gets overblown by the media.
What'd you think about Auburn wearing the all-white during the whiteout?
I mean, that's pretty much their road uniform. So yeah. It was fitting. I mean, it didn't benefit them at the end of the day. But, I thought Auburn's probably the seventh or eighth best team in the SEC, and I thought they went and held their own against one of the Big Ten's top teams.
Yeah, they did.
Chris, no doubt. Can you give us some background, those of us who are not Gators, on the Mr. Two Bits bit that they do at the Swamp? I saw that Bradley Beal was down there leading that cheer before the Alabama game. By the way, great game. Your boys almost pulled it out.
Yeah, it was a good game, and unfortunately I found myself
after the game thinking, wow, that was great, man. Florida went toe-to-toe with one of the best in the country and almost accepted a moral victory, which is not something that Florida fans or Florida players typically measure themselves by. But it definitely some good things to build on. But, yeah, the Mr. Two-Bits thing, long-standing tradition. George Edmondson was a guy that didn't even go to the University of Florida, but was a fan back, 70 years ago or so, and Florida was not very good. He would go to the games, and the fans were pretty lethargic, so he kind of, on his own, went around and started, you know, 2 bits, 4 bits, 6 bits a dollar, all for the Gators, stand up and holler, and it became something that he would do at the games and go around to the different sections and try to get people involved in the supporting the team, and ultimately became a thing that he would do on the field, and so when he passed, they decided they would do it with some celebrity Mr. 2 bits guys coming in, and it's quite the honor that people get a chance to do. So I did it against Vanderbilt a number of years ago. I think I'm the only Mr. 2 bits in the history of the program to lose to Vanderbilt at home.
Oh, wow.
The game, so
have it back. Wow.
So, Chris, well, are you saying that, like, with the Penn State whiteout and that sort of thing, that you never really were affected by the environment? There were never any road games where the raucous crowd had an impact?
Well, let's first and foremost talk about, you know, teams. Everybody prepares during the week when you're going into a rival atmosphere that's going to be loud. You use noise in practice.
Right.
You guys know that. So anybody that's a mature team is able to communicate with hand signals. They're able to make checks and get off the ball on silent counts. So yeah, it maybe affects the tackles being able to get off on the ball as quick as they would otherwise, or may affect the center disseminating information and fronts and protection. But at the end of the day, like it really is a very minimal impact. I actually loved it, man. It's fun to go on the road and play in those environments. It gives mature teams a little more juice. But I I'm not taking anything away from Penn State. I thought it was, they got 107,000 people out there cheering, but Auburn plays against probably 3 or 4 of those road games a year in the SEC. That's a typical kind of SEC environment.
So, like I texted you yesterday, it's just a strange year, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that you got the transfer portal, and you've got all these super seniors that are back, and you've got, you know, older teams. 19 ranked teams have already lost in the first 3 weeks in the AP poll. That hasn't happened ever, and the AP poll's been around for 80 years. So, if you're a fan of not being able to pencil in, you know, 2 or 3 playoff college football playoff teams in week 3, like you could have last year. You pretty much could pencil in Clemson and Bama and Ohio State last year. I can't do it this year. Maybe Georgia. I don't know. But I don't know who's good, who's elite. I don't know if there's any elite teams.
I think Georgia's the best team in the country. I'm glad you mentioned them. Their defense is lights out, and JT Daniels starting to get healthy again and developing some weapons. That was one of the issues that Georgia had, was figuring out how to replace George Pickens after he went down. Dominic Blaylock still not back. Arik Gilbert never has panned out to this point in time after transferring to LSU.
Can you tell me real quick, can you tell me what's going on with Arik Gilbert? I don't know if they've gone public with what's going on with him off the field.
I have no idea. I don't even know if Georgia knows what's going on with him. You know, I'd heard reports about him, you know, being MIA and some other ones about him being academically ineligible. I don't know what the story is, but I don't think they're counting on him participating this year. So they found some young guys that have stepped up. I think they look maybe like the most complete team in the conference, and maybe in the country as well. But all those teams you mentioned, the traditional teams that we look at, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, the issue is quarterbacks. They don't have the quarterback play that they had last year and years past. So it's even things out a little bit. And I think the other thing is, you mentioned like the super seniors and guys that have been around for longer periods of time now. It's almost like basketball. Like, you know, in NCAA tournament basketball, when we get Butler going to the Final Four, we get Loyola making a run, it's because they have a deep veteran team that's been together for 3 or 4 years, that are physically mature, that are emotionally mature. And you're seeing a lot of the top teams, you know, those guys still have gone on to the NFL early, and so you're playing a lot of younger players. I think it's really evened the field out this year.
Chris, did you get a chuckle out of Shane Beamer's post-game presser after South Carolina dropped a 40-13 decision to Georgia, who you just touched on? I guess a reporter is asking about, hey, what happened to the offense against Georgia? He said, well, Georgia's got 35-star players, and they've got a 340-pound defensive lineman who runs like a 4.7 40. It's like, that's what happened to our offense. You know, we ran into Georgia.
Yeah, it's a certainly a great compliment to what Kirby Smart has built there. And Shane Beamer was part of that. You know, he not only coached with Coach Spurrier at South Carolina, had a lot of success, coached at Georgia with Kirby Smart, was with Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma. The guy's been at some tremendous places, including with his dad. And I know folks up your way know the Beamer family very well. So right. he comes from great lineage, knows a good team, knows about how to build a good team, is trying to build a good team there in Columbia, South Carolina. It's going to take some time. But going up against Georgia, you know, I was thinking about Zeb Nolan. I'm sure you guys know the story about him being a graduate assistant coming from North Dakota State, you know, thinking that he's going to start his coaching career. Next thing you know, he's starting at the quarterback position when some injuries occurred. Luke Doty went down. Like, so here he is against Georgia's defense, the best defense in the entire country, perhaps. He ends up getting his hand stepped on by about a 350-pound man, ends up having to leave the game. So not a great situation for him to be in. But, you know, it was a funny rant from Shane Beamer because Georgia has been able to accumulate and stockpile talent the way that Alabama does, and they coach it up. And every defensive player, you look at that front seven, they all look the same. They're all cut from the same mold. They're all fast as hell. And he even noted, like, it's unfair for them to have all the defensive minds they have on that staff with not only Kirby Smart as the head coach with the background that he has, but Dan Lanning as the defensive coordinator. And he said it should be illegal for them to add Will Muschamp, who's now, you know, one of the assistants on the field for them too, another great defensive mind with head coaching experience. So Georgia, to me, is the most complete team in the country. Texas A&M, I think, has a defense that can rival Georgia's defense, but they don't have the offense right now to be able to be that complete team that we're talking about when we talk about the Bulldogs.
Can you tell me how it was a bad week for the officials in the conference, the SEC in particular? Can you tell me how they botched the Mississippi State Memphis punt that was down and the referee called the play over and dead, and they still allowed the Memphis kid to run it back, and they win by two, by the way?
Yeah, not a lot of people. First and foremost, that Memphis team was averaging 633 yards a game. They're the number one offense in the country heading into the game, and Mississippi State's defense held them to almost 400 yards below their average. So they completely shut down Memphis, and yet it shows the importance of a couple plays here and there in football. The first drive, they fumble, and Memphis scoops and scores, so they get a defensive touchdown, and then on the special teams play that you're mentioning late in the game, you know, the thing that stands out to me is, like, a lot of people don't understand the rules of football, whether it's coaches not, you know, disseminating that information or players not understanding. But I can tell you every special teams meeting at every team I ever played in, all the way down to high school, we talked about what's required to down a football on a punt. If you're covering a punt and the ball gets tapped or batted like it was when the cover guy was trying to keep it from going in the end zone, it never was possessed. And the other second Mississippi State player came in, put his hand on it. The ball was still not down, so there's no risk for the return team. You know, once it's been touched but not down, you can go in, pick it up. If he fumbles the ball later on, the ball goes back to where it was initially touched by the cover team. So it was a great play by the Memphis return guy and really poorly executed by the Mississippi State cover team. You're taught to pick the ball up, hand it to the official. Don't ever leave a call up to an official. So right. If Mississippi State handles things right, it works out. But, yeah, there's multiple things wrong in the play. First of all, there were two number fours on the field.
Right.
And this is another issue. I'm sick of duplicate numbers in college football. Like, there's 99, there's 100 numbers with double zero available.
Right.
Like, why are we using the same numbers? And so that's an issue of itself. The second thing, though, like, there were multiple reviewable things that could have been looked at. You know, the official that was down there by where the ball had been touched was waving his arms and threw the beanbag. And so
right.
There was some confusion on whether or not it was blown dead or not, but you know they didn't review it. They could have reviewed it and made a different call. Auburn, you know, up at Penn State, that was an SEC crew that actually cheated Penn State out of a down. Thought it was fourth down when it was only third down.
I mean, I don't know how they botched that. They're experienced officials. How did they screw that up? It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I can speak to this. I got a chance to work as a guest official probably four springs ago. In Athens, they did a special thing with some of us media guys. Well, we got a chance to go out there and help officiate. Like, it is hard to do. It is a difficult job. Things are moving fast. You know, you're looking at stuff and you think you see one thing, but you know, the benefit of all of these high definition cameras and what we get a chance to see in slow motion makes their job look like it should be a lot easier than it is. But, yeah, at the end of the day, they messed up. They're human beings.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we're talking about two pretty big games where, you know, high-profile things occurred, and the SEC officials didn't get it right.
Chris, we know you're an SEC guy, but the Terps are 3-0. They go on the road, get a nice win against Illinois in a primetime game. They've got a relative cupcake in Kent State coming into College Park this weekend, and then they run the gauntlet. Iowa comes in on a Friday night, and then they have to go to Ohio State the following week. How do you think they fare in that stretch? And that game Friday night is going to be a raucous atmosphere in College Park.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first and foremost, I am an SEC guy. And because of that, I know Mike Loxley very well. Yep. Mike Loxley used to be at Florida with Ron Zeff back in the day. He was also the offensive coordinator at Alabama recently. And one of the reasons why that you saw the RPO game as successful as it's been for the Crimson Tide the last 4 or 5 years. So I think very highly of him, his quarterback, a former SEC guy here to his brother. So they're coming together, man. And I just really respectful of what he's been able to build there and the fan support that he's had. It's definitely a little bit of a gauntlet. I'd be a little speaking over my skis if I told you I knew everything about what they got to play against in Iowa. They look like a really good team, and certainly, you know, Ohio State, I think, is down a little bit. So, I mean, it would be really fun to watch, as it is in college football everywhere. I think this is the year that we've all been looking for, is having a little chaos, not knowing what's going to happen, and seeing maybe some different teams in the college football playoff this year.
Well, before we let you go, whatever the total is in the Bama Ole Miss game and next weekend, go over, because I think that's going to be a shootout.
Let me tell you this: this is not. I got into another issue on social media where Bama fans don't like it when you pick against them.
Yep.
Let alone, I made the comment that this Bama team is not elite. You know, last year's team was one of the greatest in the history of college football. This year's Bama team is just wearing the same jerseys and helmets, and they're young, and they'll figure some things out, but they're not invincible. And I think they lose on October 2nd when Ole Miss comes to town. I picked in the preseason. I think I talked with you guys. Matt Corral is my preseason Heisman Trophy favorite. He's playing in an offense that Lane Kiffin and Jeff Levy, the offensive coordinator, have really put together some nice schemes, and he's executing at a high level. They got a defense finally there that's much better than last year. So I think that if you're looking for a game now, as you mentioned, the total probably will go over, but also, I would look at Ole Miss, who's going to be an underdog, getting an outright victory in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, I could see it. I could see it. All right, CD, appreciate it, man. Have a good day in Charlotte today.
All right, thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. All right, guys, you get more for your money at Thompson Creek. Call now for the September savings event. Buy one window, get one 40% off, plus no interest until 2023. Most replacement window companies are quoting extremely long lead times because of supply chain delays. Thompson Creek does it all, though. Design, build, and install, so you'll get your windows faster and you won't pay the middleman markup. Right now is the best time to replace your windows before the cold weather sets in. Call Thompson Creek now at 855-57-CREEK to save 40%.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Coming up at 8:20, for all you prize pigs, we'll give you a chance to win some prizes with Game Show Wednesday. I've prepped 4 Junkerty categories. Ooh. So we will play Junkerty.
Very good.
We have tickets to go see the bull riding show at Eagle Bank Arena in Fairfax. Also, TaylorMade golf balls, which is good. Junkies golf balls. So
surprised
we'll do that coming up at 8:20.
Hasn't hoarded all of those and stuffed them into his pants and walked out of the studio with them. That's amazing. We can actually give them to the listeners.
Yep.
Thank you for the restraint, Valdez.
All right, right now, though, time for the Junkies Blitz, presented by Offenbacher's. Visit Offenbacher's in Annapolis, Rockville, or Herndon for a huge selection of outdoor furniture that's in stock and ready for delivery right to your backyard. Start with some quarterback news. Ben Roethlisberger apparently dealing with a pec injury.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Ben Roethlisberger. It's a left pectoral
left
injury.
So, I mean, I guess that still affects you when you're throwing with your right pec. It's got to be painful.
I would think so. Are they saying he's questionable, or has he been?
Tomlin said that he didn't know. Roethlisberger took just two sacks in the loss to the Raiders, but he was hit 10 times. Tomlin acknowledged it was too much for his 39-year-old quarterback.
Don't we see this all the time with Ben? He always pops up with an injury. He's a little bit of a diva about it.
But how do you get a pec injury playing, like getting tackled? I don't understand.
I mean, you have massive 320-pound humans just throwing you to the ground.
If your arm, I understand a pec injury, like if you're bench pressing or something.
Yeah, but if maybe you're twisted back somehow. Okay. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't still understand. That's an unusual injury to me.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But they've got Cincinnati this week, right?
Cincy, yeah.
Yeah, they're probably going to need to score some points.
Yeah, could be a shootout.
Could be.
Who's their number two? Is Mason Rudolph their number two?
Yeah.
So it's not like Haskins would play if he had to go down. Yeah.
No, but he would be active.
Speaking of backup quarterbacks, the Texans are going to be rolling with rookie quarterback Davis Mills tomorrow night against the Carolina Panthers. Tyrod Taylor was placed on IR.
Yep. If you can get, by the way, the Carolina Panthers defense for your fantasy squad, they've racked up 10 sacks in the first 2 weeks. They've been a good unit, good plug and play for week three.
Number one in the league, I believe, in defense right now through 2 weeks.
I'm going to have to check that out.
Yep.
Mills in his first action was 8-for-18 for 102 yards with a touchdown pass. Did have an interception in the loss. Texans, of course, fell to 1-1. They beat the Jags in their opener.
And by the way, David Culley, the head coach of the Texans, he did basically take it upon himself for that wackadoo sequence when they were playing the Cleveland Browns.
Where he punted
on 4th and 2.
He took a penalty and
took
punted.
Took a penalty and then punted the ball away instead of taking 3rd and 10.
Is that what the analytics were saying?
Free play.
Well, I think his felted brain told him to punt the ball away, and he realized he made a mistake.
But again, he's a rookie head coach. Doesn't he have other coaches in his ear going, Coach?
I would think.
We can't do that.
I think there's somebody up in the booth saying,
I mean, what's going on?
Don't punt the ball.
By the way, are the Panthers a sneaky, decent play in a survivor? I mean, it's a little risky because it's the Panthers on the road.
I don't even think it's that risky.
So you would like the Panthers in a survivor?
You can't go on the road and beat a guy, make his first NFL start.
You can, yeah.
And Sam Darnold is playing very well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Through 2 games.
I think a lot of people will take the Panthers in a survivor.
I think they probably should.
We spent some time yesterday talking about Aaron Jones, who scored 4 touchdowns in the Packers' win over the Lions. He had the missing necklace, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The pendant necklace. His father died of COVID, and he had ashes inside the necklace. And somewhere during the game, I guess, the necklace fell off. Well, it was the trainer who apparently was on the field until 2 a.m. Scouring the field, but he found the necklace.
Yeah, so our guy called in.
Yeah.
I think he had found it before.
The guy called in.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, his services are no longer needed in Green Bay.
Right. I mean, as we said, all it took was somebody going out there and just looking on the turf.
Right, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, you didn't have to dig a hole or anything.
No.
You didn't have to go scuba diving.
Nope.
Yeah.
I guess he lost it after his second touchdown catch in that part of the end zone.
Here's the question. Does he continue to wear it during games? Or does he just strap it up again?
Yeah,
or does he
know.
Go, you know,
like,
what? That's too much of a close call.
Look, you're an NFL running back. People are trying to.
Have you seen the pendant, though?
Yes.
It's really small. It's like the size of a thumbnail.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a really
small.
It
looks like a football, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
It's interesting. We talked about this during the break. I'll bring it up now. Cakes seemed to get animated that RG3, who was a guest on Adam Schefter's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he's working as a TV analyst now for ESPN. He's 31 years old. And he was asked about whether he'd be interested in returning to the NFL. And Griffin was honest. He said he claims he's received interest in the offseason. He said, yes, it has come close, and throughout the offseason, it was getting closer and closer and closer. The teams that were interested are still interested, but something has to happen. I'm realistic about that. I understand that. But he was asked if he'd return to Washington, and he said yes.
Of course he has.
Of course he would.
He'd
go anywhere.
The team has to have interest to bring him back in.
And what he doesn't understand is the fans don't even want it. not only does this administration, like the guys that are there now, like there's no chance Ron Rivera wants to kick the tires on that. The fans don't even want it.
What the fans want should never, ever matter.
Right, but I mean, I think he's so disillusioned that he doesn't understand. The fans don't even want it.
Right, here.
Yes. But now, but I wish him a spot. I wish him well.
I think he makes, you know, he makes a good point. He said he believes it's between him and Cam Newton when it comes to accomplished quarterbacks who are available.
He does.
He claims that teams called him this week.
That's unbelievable to me.
He was accomplished in 2012. It's been almost a decade since he's done anything of note in the NFL.
Understood, but there are a lot of backups that didn't do anything of note that are on rosters. He just wants a roster spot.
I understand.
Listen,
but
all I'm saying is I might say call shenanigans on teams calling him this week because
I think he could have been lying about that.
In other words, if somebody offered him, now maybe they just said you want to come in and work out, and he didn't want to do that.
Yeah, like the Washington football team
Monday
did with running backs.
Thing, right. That's a little beneath
they also,
him.
Washington football team also did it with two kickers that they brought in too.
Yeah,
right. Not one, two.
Yeah, but
I'm not surprised by that.
Not surprised at all.
I think if anybody gave Robert a roster spot, he'd take it in 2 seconds.
Yeah, because he can be choosy. All of a sudden, RG3 can be choosy about people offering him gigs.
Yeah.
No,
he's probably
would take
turning
it.
Down those Monday workout bits. He's not
if he's getting
it.
Calls at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes' brother in a little bit of hot water.
What is this guy? Like a social media guy? He's like a YouTube guy,
right? He's a TikToker.
Right?
He has almost a million followers
Jackson
on TikTok.
Mahomes. Mm-hmm.
And
just,
I think he has...
Just riding his brother's name.
Of course he is.
About a quarter of a million followers on
Mahomes.
Instagram.
All right. I was going to say, we would all do it.
Right.
I just don't understand. Like, is he funny?
He's 21.
There's no way
I think
he's
he
funny.
Does dance videos.
Yeah, he does TikTok dances.
Uh-huh.
The hot dances.
The reason why I said he's in hot water is because... After the game, I guess there were some Ravens fans taunting him, and
15-yarder,
and he doused them with water.
He poured water over them as he walked away. Now he was kind of like on a
he was in a
suite
level,
kind of above him.
He was in a suite level,
right?
So they were taunting him,
right? And there was like a Matt Valdez type just yelling at him.
Right?
Like if you watch the video,
this is Matt Valdez,
and it didn't even bother the Matt Valdez type at all. The guy's got the Ravens, and he's just yelling up at Jackson Mahomes. Right. Mahomes just pours the water on him.
You know what? Brothers of NFL players should not be on the blitz. That's my executive decision. Jackson Mahomes
doesn't belong
on the blitz.
You want to talk about Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jackson Mahomes.
I mean,
I thought the
hair is not gray enough, but I thought that could potentially be Matt Valdez who was getting the water poured on him.
He's annoying.
Huh?
Ooh, Jackson Mahomes.
Yeah, he's always hanging out with Mahomes' wife or fiance, whatever she is. And they're like best friends, and they just scream all the time.
The wife does too.
Oh yeah.
Oh, she's terrible. Not classy.
They bug the crap out of me. Right. But he is like Jackson Mahomes. Looks like he's like 6'9".
He looks tall.
He's a big dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's a big on unathletic.
He got the nubs genes.
Oh yeah. Patrick Mahomes got all the athletic silliness. Yeah.
Right.
That's it for the Junkies Blitz. Coming up next, though.
How salty would you be if your brother is Patrick Mahomes and your nubs Jackson Mahomes?
Oh, but you're going to ride those coattails, though.
Yeah, but you always feel nubs.
You'll always feel nubs.
Yeah, for the rest of your life.
You'll actually, in your family, you'll never be silly.
Never.
Yeah. You'll always be the nubs kid.
Everybody's talking about Patrick and his exploits.
Well, don't pour water on people on video where people are going to call you nubs the next day.
Well, it's not like, didn't Cal and Billy, don't they have another brother that's
Fred.
Like a mechanic?
Fred.
Yeah,
Fred's silly.
I mean, he might be a great person. I shouldn't laugh.
Sure he is.
Right.
But he just wasn't a baller.
Yeah, I mean, he's got Hall of Famer.
This can't be right.
In the majors, and then you're the mechanic.
This says Jackson Mahomes' net worth, $10 million.
How?
TikTok.
TikTok and Instagram.
TikTok famous.
Probably.
Jesus Christ.
Well, plus Patrick gave him $7 million.
Probably, yeah.
All right, coming up next. Let's get back into Taylor Heinicke. E. Beater and Hit the Skins brought up some Alex Smith comments where he's really high on him. Let's get into predicting the next game. Will he have another silly performance? Do you believe he can do that in Buffalo? 800-636-1067. We'll take your calls next here on the Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!